been caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning, 740 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Ben Scholl, Morning News. Good to have you with us on this Tuesday morning. Joining us here in studio, we have Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back to Ben Scholl, Morning News, sir. Apparently, if you eat blueberries in the Walmart and you also have fentanyl in your person, this could go poorly for you if you don't pay for the blueberries.
Yeah, you got to think these things are connected, right? You know, you got to think that you may well be on something. To walk around Walmart and just, you know, picking and eating the blueberries out of the package.
Sometimes you're hungry.
Meandering.
Yeah.
As
okay.
they say.
All right.
And then just throwing the, disregarding the package and trying to walk out without paying for what you've just eaten.
And if you nibble the blueberries and then pay for them, it's fine. But when you don't pay for them.
I don't know if it's fine or not. I'm not sure what the rules are in Walmart. I would think that it's not a, buffet.
Well, it's sort of a risk, I suppose. But, you know, in this case, the astute employees were watching. And they stopped the person for shoplifting, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot there. I mean, they are pretty good at picking out shoplifters, but I would imagine if you're walking through the aisles just eating blueberries, you would draw attention to yourself, both with the blueberries and the blue tongue and the lips and whether you had fingers you'd have. But then you decide to walk out. And like you just said, the bigger issue there is that you have a bunch of fentanyl on you. You have what, methamphetamine? You have all this crap on you, and you go to jail for it.
We're glad for dumb criminals.
We are very thankful. Yes.
So yeah. Okay. Well, you also had another meth arrest dealing with a traffic stop. So, you know, which often happens. A Molino guy charged with meth after a traffic stop. Is that right?
Yeah, it was that simple. Our guys are out there stopping cars for violations. And in this particular case, it was a tag light violation, and they ended up stopping him. And probable cause led to them seizing a little bit of fentanyl and some other drugs and arrested him for it as well.
And it seems like a weird thing because you have these traffic stops that lead to other things, but it happens all the time. And, you know, I got to imagine that part of the policing strategy, you tell me if I'm wrong, is we just want to make people who are drug dealers feel nervous about driving around with their drugs.
Well, I mean, there's a law that says you have to follow you can't speed, you can't violate a stop sign or a red light and that sort of thing. So that's where it starts with the violation. And you would think that people that are carrying drugs would be a little bit careful with the type of car to get into. Don't get in a stolen car. Don't get in a car without a tag. Mm-hmm. Don't go 100 miles an hour.
Right.
Don't do those sorts of things. And a lot of them probably do that, actually. But occasionally we'll stop a car. And we'll end up finding some people that are violating a much more serious law than traffic violation.
Do you ever get suspicious of the driver that's very well behaved? Because I know, that's the way I think about it. Like, if I were going to commit a crime, you know, if I had a body in the trunk, okay, you know, I'm driving the speed limit. I'm stopping with a full and complete stop at every. I mean, like, because you don't want to get pulled over for something dumb. When you're doing a crime. I mean, obviously, I'm glad that criminals don't think this way. But the other side of the thing is if somebody's driving very, very attentively.
Too good.
Too well.
Too good.
Full and complete stop, pause, then go. Yeah, I mean, does that draw attention too?
Well, I would think that I see where you're going there. But in my experience, back in the former life when I was a real policeman, as y'all reminded me before we got on the air.
I didn't say that. Yeah. I didn't say that.
When a police car is behind a car, they drive great.
Yeah,
they do their best to drive really good.
Yeah,
no one speeds.
Right,
you know, no one passes you. Everyone's coming to a complete stop, as you mentioned. They're all in the middle of the lane. Everyone's got their seatbelt on. Everyone does their best. So, again, to find that one person that's driving too good. Now, when you're looking for a DUI, there, you know, if someone's going super slow,
that's what I was thinking about DUIs. Yeah,
you can, you know, hey, that car is going 30 and a 55 or
right.
something, there's something going on there. But again, when you see the cruiser car, or certainly one with lights on, you drive your very best.
Everybody be okay, so that doesn't uniquely identify.
Unless you're doing drugs, in which case, or you're drunk, in which case you need to be stopped.
Anyway. We're glad if you misbehave. Not because of the misbehavior, but because it lets us pull you over and arrest you. Speaking of dumb criminals, if you steal somebody's identity, fraudulently buy a truck, the next thing you want to do is post about it on social media, is that right?
Well, yeah, there's a lot here as well. I want to make sure this that people understand we are not making light of identity theft. That is
absolutely
devastating to a victim in identity mm-hmm. theft. It takes them months, sometimes years, to clear their name and clear their credit. In this particular case, you had a lady that stole someone's identity, and they had just enough information, and then she walked into a local car dealership, actually purchased a truck. She had her eye on this silver. Not silver, but a Silverado, red Silverado, and then she ended up buying that truck, and then she had the audacity to get this photo taken with a, you know, look at me in my new ride. In fact, you can see the picture we posted it online. It had the big bow on it.
That's what caught my attention is you guys featured this on your Facebook page, yeah?
Yeah, and then she, so somehow, and again, we're still looking into this. We have a suspicion, but she let an acquaintance of her use this truck, or it ended up in an acquaintance hands. He abandoned it in someone's private property who subsequently got it towed away. We recovered it, sent it back to the dealership. Well, the suspect...
She paid for it with the fraudulent money?
Right.
Okay, so she basically created a bank loan fraudulently with the fake identity.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. All right.
She pretended to be someone else, bought a truck in their name, and
use them for
she's
credit.
She's driving around, and then she's allowing someone else to use this truck, like within a day.
Okay.
And again, what's going on there? We have our suspicions. But anyways, the truck ends up on a private property. They don't like it. They get it towed away. We end up finding the truck, getting it and returning it back to dealership. Well, the suspect in this case, the identity thief, decided that, hey, wait, they got my truck. I'm going to call. So they called the sheriff's office. They called us. She calls us and says, hey, I want to go in and get that truck recovered. And pretending to be, the innocent
fraudulent
victim
of
this thing. So, yeah, she had the audacity to steal the truck, take the picture with the truck, and then it was recovered, try to get it back from the sheriff's office, all under this assumed name while still in character.
Well, I mean, if you're gonna play a role.
She's committed.
I guess she's playing it all the way through, you know, hoping for the Academy Award here. And in the end.
And then she went
a different
to jail.
Kind of award?
Yeah. Well, yeah. You dumbest criminal type thing. Yeah, pretty crazy. But, you know, we put it out not just to let people know what's taking place, although we do try to be transparent. But there's an indication that she has been trying to buy things throughout the town. And, mm-hmm. and we want to make sure that people understand, don't buy anything from this person that looks like this. Because she's under a number of different names.
North Escambia says you have some suspects in the mailbox demolition of 2025. Like 10 or 15 mailboxes got beat up, and you got some suspects maybe?
We have some people of interest. That,
okay.
You know, that we, you know, people were kind enough, really, to give us some surveillance video and give us information. Mm-hmm, hey, we think it's this. And we're looking at whether it's some individuals on a four-wheeler that have been driving through the area. I don't think we've made an arrest yet. In fact, I didn't talk to the investigators yesterday, so I'm not aware of any arrests. But we did have some people of interest with regards to the, 10 to 15 mailboxes. Yeah. They were smashed up. I've seen some pictures online. You know, and this stuff has happened for 50 years.
Right.
You know, people do this sort of thing. So we think it's just like it has been in the 60s and 70s and 80s. With a bat of some sort,
joyriding,
driving,
get to the
driving
bat.
Through, and, mm-hmm. and you know, school's out, and you know, so we're wondering if that might be a, you know, something they're trying to get involved in.
You have what do you have coming up? You have Coffee with a Cop coming up.
Yeah, on June the 20th, we have a Coffee with a Cop. There's apparently a new Bagelheads on Davis Highway. I've got it right here. It's 10,015 North Davis Highway. It looks like Coffee with a Cop is scheduled for the Bagelheads. So we're going to be up there about 7:30 in the morning. Come join us.
It's fun. Are you a new law just got signed yesterday by Governor DeSantis that makes it easier to evict squatters, makes it easier for hotels who have people who are not paying or doing what they're supposed to be doing, expedites removal of unauthorized individuals, safeguards property owners. Is this? I have always heard that this is a real problem, that getting rid of people who shouldn't be on your property if they've been there too long is just a challenge. It becomes a nightmare. Is that really a problem here in Escambia County? B, will this new law help you?
Yes and yes. There was some legislation last year, I believe, also that made it easier for law enforcement to get rid of some people. So in the past, people have claimed that they have residency or squatter's rights or whatever mm-hmm. they want to call it. because they stayed in a location. So we go there and it's an abandoned house, and they say, "Oh, well, you can't evict me. You can't make me leave because I'm getting mail here. I'm doing some, you know, I've established power or utilities here." And it's always kind of really stuck in my craw that, hey, you know, you're not the owner here. You can't do this. So this past 2 years, there's been some, I'm not aware of the legislation that was just signed that you're talking about, but I know last year there was some stuff that strengthened the law enforcement officer's ability to get people out. It requires an affidavit from the owner saying certain things, that you have no right to be here and that sort of thing. There was no rental agreement, verbal or written, but between them. And we will side on the owners, with the owners, in these types of situations. So, because again, you can't just take someone's property because you're just sitting there and you refuse to leave. And we get calls like this all the time.
Yeah.
And it does make it easier. So things are getting a little bit better on that regard. But there is a requirement on the owner that they provide this affidavit that they don't have that type of a agreement.
Somebody asked me a good question the other day that I had not thought of. We've talked many, many times about the pit maneuver, about using your car, your vehicles to stop somebody else who's driving, to spin them around and get them to stop. How do they practice that? How do they learn to do it?
How do we practice that?
Yeah, is it how do you video simulation, real life? How do they learn?
Both, but mostly it's real life. We have our older cars. We weld large pieces of metal on the front of them, and then we practice. We go to a driving range that we use.
Not a golf driving range, an actual driving range.
A big parking driving lot. Right. Yeah, an open driving range. And we practice it. We practice it time and time again. We do it every year so that everyone understands. Now, they learn this in what we call rookie school or police academy as well. So to me, there's only one way to really learn it, and that's to do it.
Yeah.
So we practice it in real life with these mocked up older vehicles that we have. And then there's experience. Quite frankly, there's nothing like experience, and we continue to push and push and push to make sure that the conditions are correct and do what you got to do.
The deputies who get to drive in the fleeing vehicles in these scenarios, do they view that as a reward or a punishment?
It's just your turn. It's your turn to get in there. You kind of know.
Well, you learn
a little bit about how it feels to be pitted.
Yes, yeah.
And then there's some constant conversations about, okay, that didn't quite work right. It didn't spin the car the way we wanted it to spin. And you also understand what happens at certain speeds and various speeds, and when they're making turns and when they're driving straight. There's an art to this. Now, we put out a video, I guess last week, maybe a week and a half ago, I did a press conference, and we had an armed robber just robbed a convenience store.
Uh-huh.
And that individual, the pit looked a little different than what we typically practice, because this was this guy had a gun. He had the money and a gun in his car.
Yeah.
And our pit maneuver looked a little bit differently in that situation, because the deputy had to improvise and to stop this individual from committing more crimes.
Right.
It was danger to society.
That's very interesting, because I mean, that makes perfect sense. You train on anything that involves that kind of level of force. Why wouldn't you train on, pitting a car? So, and it makes perfect sense that's how, but I'm glad somebody asked, because that educated me. All right, last thing, and I don't quite know what to do with this here, but we learned something about you today. We were talking about the news story at the beginning of the show, right before the show came on. We're talking about Popeyes going to war with, McDonald's and trying to entice their chicken customers away. And we learned that Sheriff Simmons has a food preference.
I don't know if a preference. And to be clear, y'all two were talking about it. I don't walk around talking about hamburgers versus chicken.
When you go to McDonald's, what do you order, sir?
Well, I'll typically order a collection of things. A cheeseburger, and I'll always have some chicken nuggets.
There's
nothing wrong with nuggets.
The chicken
nuggets.
And I will
not apologize.
Aren't you a little bit old for the chicken nuggets?
What, is there an age limit for chicken nuggets? Those things are delicious.
Saucy nugs.
They're chicken and they're nuggets. A little barbecue sauce, that's good stuff right there. I'm a growing boy. Everyone's listening thinking, I can go over some nuggets right now. Probably have to wait until what? At lunchtime, 10, 11 o'clock.
I just think I know what we're doing for a frivolous topic today, all courtesy of Sheriff Simmons. I will not apologize for eating the saucy nugs. Sheriff, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for indulging us, getting us to laugh, and teaching us what's right and wrong about the law. I appreciate it, sir.
You bet. Y'all take